The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the June-July issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And we're going to go right to Who's Who in Sports. And we're going to start with a recognized former Duke player, Pablo Banchero, Orlando Magic forward. His height is 6'10", weight 250 pounds. He was born November 12, 2002, hometown, Seattle, Washington. Following a season in which he averaged 20 points and 6.9 rebounds per game, Banchero was named NBA Rookie of the Year. The first pick in the 2022 draft, Banchero became the second teenager, after LeBron James, to have at least 30 points and 15 rebounds in a game, which he accomplished November 5th against the Kings. Did you know the Rookie of the Year is awarded the Wilt Chamberlain Trophy, named from the Hall of Fame Center? We're going to stay with basketball. We're going to go all the way down to the right hand, lower right hand on the third line, Natasha Cloud, Washington Mystics guard. Her height is 5'10". She was born February 22nd, 1992, hometown, Broomall, Pennsylvania. Cloud led the WNBA in assists that last season with an average of 7 per game. She also averaged a career-high 10.7 points per game as the Mystics went 22-14. In the 2019 postseason, Cloud averaged 13.1 points and 6.2 assists as Washington won its first league title. Did you know? Cloud opted out of the 2020 WNBA season so she could devote her time to campaigning for social justice, including helping to plan a Juneteenth demonstration in Washington. And let's stay on that third line and go right next to her, Caleb Williams, USC Trojans quarterback. His height is 6'1", his weight is 220 pounds. He was born November 18, 2001, hometown, Washington, D.C. Williams threw for a school record 4,537 yards and 42 touchdowns, leading the Trojans to an 11-3 record. He was named Heisman Trophy winner. In 2021, Williams spent his freshman season at Oklahoma, where he became the starter halfway through the season and won 5 of the 7 starts. Did you know, though, USC has won 7 Heisman trophies, tying it with Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Oklahoma for the most by one school? Don't Play the Lottery by Kip Stormore. Has a picture here. This is warm-up, hot take. Hot property, Miami Strauss, Vincent, and Butler from left teamed up to stifle Boston. Something strange happened at the NBA Finals, and I'm not talking about when Nikola Jokic threw his teammate Jamal Murray into a pool after the clincher. I have some thoughts about violating rules about horseplay near pools, but I'm going to keep them to myself, at least until my editors approve my request for a personal security detail. I don't need a player with notoriously wild brothers coming after me. No, what was really odd was that one of the teams involved in this series, the Denver Nuggets, actually made a trade while the finals were still going on. It was hardly a blockbuster. Denver sent a 2029 first-round pick to the Thunder in exchange for a 2023 second-round pick and a first-rounder and a second-rounder next year. Oklahoma City potentially has 4 first-rounders in 2024, and the pick that goes to Denver will be the least favorable. So the Nuggets essentially traded a first-round pick in the future for three late picks in the present. It was a pretty genius move. Look, Denver isn't going to get a prime prospect with any of those picks, but look what we saw in the finals. Denver was led by Jokic, who was the 41st pick in 2014. One of the breakout stars in this series was guard Bruce Brown, who was a second-round pick in 2018. Sure, the Nuggets have a couple of lottery selections, but with the exception of Murray, they're all glue guys, the kind of players who scrap and rebound and do the dirty work. Then look at the team Denver beat in the finals. Miami won the Eastern Conference thanks to Jimmy Butler, who was the last pick of the first round in 2011. Gabe Vincent, Duncan Robinson, Max Strauss, and Caleb Martin played huge minutes throughout the postseason, and none of them were even drafted. Miami got to the finals by beating Boston, which was led by a big three of Jason Tatum, third pick, Jaylen Brown, third, and Marcus Smart, sixth. It's not the first time the Heat have humbled a team loaded with lottery talent. Last year, they knocked out the 76ers, a team known for adhering to the process. In other words, tanking for top picks. So what's the lesson? Easy. Don't obsess over lottery picks. For starters, plenty of people think the draft lottery is rigged. I have some thoughts about that, but I'm going to keep them to myself, at least until my editors approve my request for that personal security detail. I don't need an angry commissioner coming after me. But even if the lottery is on the level, it's much easier to look for elite talent elsewhere, especially if you're willing to part with your picks. Of course, you can strike gold with a LeBron James or Joel Embiid at the top of the draft, but plenty of high first-rounders have been busts. And once you find an A-list player, by all means, turn your attention to the overlooked guys, ones who aren't high on draft boards, the ones who, when they were kids playing pickup games at their magazine office, Treehouse, never get picked early, all because Whitney doesn't think they can jump high enough or... Sorry, I got a little worked up there. Where was I? Oh, the lottery. The finals showed us the best way to build a team of the 37 players that have been picked. First, since the lottery was instituted in 1985, only four have won title for the team that picked them. Winning a lottery requires a certain amount of luck, but avoiding it in the first place might be the luckiest play of all. No joke. Jokic has won two MVP awards and a finals trophy, all after being a second-round pick. What's your hot take? Do you have a question for Skip Shoremore, a complaint, a topic he should write about in a future issue? Send your letter to Kip's Treehouse Bay's editor at kip.shoremore@si.com. The Grid. We have Trey Murphy III, Jesse Winker of the Milwaukee Brewers outfielder, and Washington Spirit midfielder Chloe Ricketts. Who is your favorite athlete outside your sport? Arike Abumake, says Trey Murphy III. Jim Kelly, says Jesse Winker. And Chloe Ricketts, says Michigan Wolverines running back Blake Corum. What's something you'd like to do in the near future? Trey Murphy III says, I want to make a run in the playoffs. Jesse Winker, travel to Europe. Chloe Ricketts, score a couple of goals. What movie have you seen the most? Trey Murphy, Semi-Pro. Jesse Winker, got Goodfellas. And Chloe Ricketts, The Little Mermaid, the 1989 version. What's your favorite place in the world? Trey Murphy, Miami. Jesse Winker, anywhere with my daughter. Chloe Ricketts, Arizona. I like the weather and wildlife. What's your favorite snack? Trey Murphy, III, mint Oreos. Jesse Winker, chicken wings. Chloe Ricketts, cool ranch Doritos. And finally, who is the GOAT? Meaning, greatest of all time in your sport. Trey Murphy says Kobe Bryant. Jesse Winker, Barry Bonds. Chloe Ricketts, Marta. And let's review the July birthdays. July 2nd, Los Angeles Sparks power forward Nike Ngumake turns 33. July 11th, Chicago Cubs starting pitcher Justin Steele turns 28. Hockey prospect Connor Bedard celebrates turning 18 on July 17th. July 19th, San Francisco 49ers all-pro tackle Trent Williams turns 25. The winner's curse. All five of these teams would be the best regular season in their sports history. Came up empty when it mattered. Boston Bruins, 2023. Not only did the Bruins set the NHL record for most points in a season, but they also won more games than any team in history, 65. In the playoffs, they cruised to a 3-1 lead over the Panthers, and then the wheels came off. Boston lost Game 5 at home in overtime and then dropped Game 6 on the road. Still, Boston was in good shape in the decisive seventh game, leading 3-2 late in the third period. But Florida pulled its goalie for an extra attacker, tied the game with a minute left, and then won in overtime, giving the Bruins a long offseason to think about what could have been. Regular season points, 135. Final result, lost in opening round. New England Revolution, regular season points, 73. Final result, lost in conference semifinals. New England Revolution in 2021. Having the best goalkeeper in the league should give a team an advantage in penalty shootout. But upstart New York City FC converted all five of his penalty kicks against Matt Turner to knock out the Revs. Golden State Warriors, 2015 and 16. The Dubs held a 3-1 lead in the finals, but alas, it was against LeBron James, who led a comeback culminating with a Game 7 performance that included a triple-double and an epic chase-down block. Record 73-9. Result lost in NBA Finals. New England Patriots 2007. The Pats became the first team in history to win 16 games and waltz into the Super Bowl, where they were shocked by a 10-win Giants team, thanks largely to David Tyree's infamous helmet catch. Record 16-0. Final result. Lost in Super Bowl. Chicago Cubs, 1906. Featuring four Hall of Famers, the Cubs won the National League pennant by 20 games. But in the World Series, they were thumped by their crosstown rivals, the White Sox, despite the presence of a real Bear Cub. Record, 116-36-3. Final result, lost World Series. These things can sting. What if anyone could enter a transfer portal? Ever since the NCAA altered its policy on athletes changing schools, news reports have been filled with mentions of the transfer portal. It sounds mysterious and cool, like something Miles Morales might use to port to Mbatan. In reality, it's just a database that athletes access with an ID number provided to them by the NCAA. The player logs in and enters their name, which signals their intent to switch schools, something that used to require them to sit out at least one season. But now players can move much more freely between schools, allowing them to find the situation that best fits their needs. And it gives the college coaches a tool to quickly rebuild their roster. So the transfer portal is useful for all parties involved, but hardly as cool as it sounds. But what if it were an actual physical thing? What if every city had a little booth on a street corner with a neon flashing T, and entering gave a person access to an endless menu of destinations? For starters, every airline pilot in the world would be in line, because their industry would go out of business. They'd be okay, though. They could transfer to a cruise ship or maybe to NASA. Witty magazine writers could realize their lifelong dream by beaming themselves to Hollywood, coming to theaters on Christmas 2027. What if the movie, followed, if all goes well, in 2029 by What If There Was a Sequel? The portal could even be used for less ambitious purposes. Don't like your dinner? Port it out here. Visited an especially spooky haunted house? Transfer your pants. Stumped by that question about George Washington on your history test? Ask your teacher if you can run to the restroom and then make a break for the portal, transfer back to Valley Forge, and quiz the man himself. To be clear, as far as we know, the NCAA transfer portal does not allow for time travel. Yet, but that sounds like a great plot for What If 3, bigger and iffier. The most entertaining aspect of a fully accessible transfer portal, though, would be its effect on the world of sports. Moving on. Professional athletes in major sports have a few ways of moving between teams. The first is the good old-fashioned trade. Two or more teams get together and decide they'd better off with each other's players. Occasionally, trades can be engineered by players if they have enough leverage or influence. Ask James Harden or Kyrie Irving about that. But for the most part, trades leave players at the whims of their teams. Stick to ports. The other main way pro athletes can move is through free agency, which allows them to pick their destinations. But it's not that simple. Before a player can become eligible for free agency, they have to play out their contract with their team, and often they also have to meet some seriously arcane criteria. In baseball, for instance, a player is bound to his original team for 3 years unless he qualifies as what's known as a Super Two, a phrase that refers to another arcane rule, not a callback to that spooky haunted house. During that time, his team can pay him whatever it wants, so long as it meets the major league minimum. Then the player has 3 years in which he is eligible for arbitration. Only then can he become a free agent and decide where he wants to play. Other sports have similar restrictions, such as allowing a player's team to match any offer they receive. But with a portal, none of that would matter. And back to page 24, the picture here of Tampa Bay winning the Super Bowl. Stick to ports. Unlimited transfer would mean we'd see more of Brady and Gronk above and super teams like the Liberty. But with a portal, none of that would matter. LeBron James could go anywhere. With a ring with the Warriors, try for a third title in South Beach with Jimmy Butler, even return home to Cleveland. But what he'd really love to do is play with his son, Bronny, who can join the league in 2024. LeBron has negotiated himself as a contract that will allow him to opt out of his deal and become a free agent so he could sign with the same team that drafts his son. But that depends on the team being willing and able to sign LeBron, which won't be cheap, and the story wouldn't quite resonate as deeply if dad and son were reunited in a less than exciting locale. With a portal, though, Bronny and LeBron could enter together, assuming the portal is big enough. Otherwise, they might have to go in on after the other. They could replicate LeBron's decision to take his talents to South Beach, or they could go home and join the Cavaliers. A portal will also make it easier for Rob Gronkowski to follow Tom Brady wherever he goes. Let's assume the portal's destinations include broadcast booths, and we'd see more super teams like the New York Liberty, who brought in Breonna Stewart and Courtney Vandersloot to join Sabrina Ionescu. The knee-jerk reaction would be that such a team would lead to anarchy, but markets have ways of sorting themselves out. If every NBA player tried to transfer to Miami, there wouldn't be enough room. The Heat would simply be able to pick their best options, and the rest would eventually settle with teams that needed and wanted them. The transfer system isn't too far out there. European soccer operates under a system largely without trades and free agents. Teams pay money to acquire players, but the players have to agree to the move. And the athletes can initially move by requesting transfers. There's no actual physical portal, though, yet. And there's really not an immediate need for one, at least not until 2026, when LeBron's older son, Bryce, will become eligible for the NBA draft. The first thing I did, I texted him a picture of the cheesehead. Sauce Gardner, New York Jets cornerback, trending. The Jets star is a tale of two people, Ahmad, a generous soul, and Sauce, a brash defensive back who hopes to do for New York what he did for his college program. When Ahmad Gardner was 6 years old, his football coach started calling him A1 Sauce Sweet Feet Gardner. Over time, the nickname was whittled down to just Sauce. It became a part of him. In a sense, Gardner is two people. Sauce is flashy and brash. He wears diamond grills in his teeth, helps deliver Aaron Rodgers to New York, and burns Packers cheeseheads on his YouTube channel. There's already a documentary in production about his life. That's what it is on the field, he says of his nickname. Ahmad is a counterweight to that flash. He's a caring soul who regularly hands out cash to unhoused people he sees on the street, even if he doesn't know them, something he started doing in college, long before he signed his multimillion-dollar contract with the Jets. Gardner will often read and respond to his direct messages on social media. He's only 22, but he already runs a virtual business venture aimed at steering people out of gang life. He talks to high school football players constantly because he wishes someone had shown him a way out when he was that age. Taking together, Ahmad and Sauce are a force of goodwill for two football programs, the University of Cincinnati and the Jets. Gardner has spurred the kind of change coaches can only dream of. When he got to Cincinnati, then, Coach Luke Fickell refused to call him Sauce. Fickle says, half-jokingly, that he'd call the defensive back Ahmad until the day he was drafted. When reporters ask him about Sauce, Fickle would respond, "I'll talk about Ahmad. You had this confident young freshman coming in, and I always tease guys, 'Oh, you have a self-proclaimed nickname,' Fickle says, laughing. He was like, 'I'm Sauce.' And I said, 'No, your grandmother calls you Ahmad. I'll call you Ahmad.'" In his three seasons at Cincinnati, Gardner helped take the Bearcats to new heights. As a freshman, he came off the bench to record two pick sixes in his first seven games, after which he moved into the starting lineup, where he remained for the rest of his career. After an undefeated regular season in 2020, the Bearcats lost a close game to Georgia in the Peach Bowl in 2021. Cincinnati became the first team from outside the Power Five to make it to the college football playoff. A few months later, Gardner invited Fickell to the 2022 NFL draft and hugged him before he went on stage. Fickell looked him in the eye and said, "Congratulations, Sauce." Gardner wasted little time making his mark on the field and on the Jets. In week six, he broke up three passes in a 27-10 win in Green Bay. He celebrated by climbing into the stands and grabbing a cheese head, the ultimate symbol of Packers fandom, and placing it atop his head. Following the season, Green Bay quarterback Aaron Rodgers expressed his desire to be traded. Gardner, despite the fact that he had only one season of experience and was 5 years old when Rodgers made his pro debut, took the lead in recruiting him to New York. "What do y'all think you need to be competitive?" Gardner says. Rodgers, who before the trade was stored in Gardner's phone as A-Rod with a fingers crossed emoji, asked him during their message exchange this offseason, "First thing I did, I texted him a picture of the cheese head, and he said, LOL, why do you still have that? I told him, hey, you became a jet. I'll burn it. You don't have to worry about it, Gardner melted it on his YouTube channel in a backyard fire pit around his house with teammates Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall watching. Now, all with Rodgers on board to run the offense, the Jets have real Super Bowl hopes. No matter how much notoriety and glory that would bring Sauce, one thing is for certain. Ahmad is still going to be Ahmad. I'll always just have to make sure I'm doing everything right. You know what I mean, Gardner says. I'm just staying focused, staying humble, because I know if I were to mess up in any kind of way, that can affect a lot of people. You know, a lot of people that's trying to get to where I am today, my family. So that's why I've always been one of those guys. He's not trying to set a good example, says Gardner. I'm trying to be the perfect example. And here it shows pictures of him breaking up a pass against the Seattle team. And a tight corner, one of the last things an opposing receiver wants to see is Gardner, who has his own line of winning wing sauce. And end zone. What's the call? Wrong rim. Number one, Buzz Bucketeers are playing Whitney's Winners in a basketball game at the SI Kids Treehouse. Whitney passed the ball to Kip, who fires up a three-pointer that misses the basket entirely. As Buzz leaps for the defensive rebound, he accidentally tips the ball into the basket. Whitney claims her team should get 3 points, so the ball was shot from behind the arc and never touched the ground or the hoop. A red-faced Buzz argues that she should get only 2 points. What's the call? We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.